May God's grace, His peace, His abundant, rich mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, the true treasure of heaven, our true riches this day we receive. Amen. I want to talk about the gospel lesson from Mark chapter 10 today. Let us pray as we consider the word of God. Lord, your word is sharper than a double-edged sword. We pray it would dig deep and penetrate our souls, our spirits, our minds, our hearts, to work repentance in us, true faith in us, that we leave strengthened, ready to follow you, Lord, trusting your promise of grace and mercy of eternal life. We pray for all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what's in it for me? That is a common question that we ask in life. What's in it for me? You get offered a new job, and one of your first questions is going to be, what's in it for me? What's the salary, benefits? What's in it for me? You send your children to a school, elementary school, high school, college. What's in it for me? What's in it for them? What kind of education they're going to get? Is it worth the money? What's in it for them and for me? You go to a restaurant today after church, and one underlying question is, what's in it for me? Do they have good food? What's it cost? Is it worth it? What's in it for me? A common, selfish question, and yet a question. And I suggest today that at the end of the gospel lesson, Jesus addresses that question, what's in it for me, in regards to following him. Peter says to the Lord, and I'm sure the other 11 are thinking the same thing, we've left everything and followed you. Underlying Peter's question is, Lord, what's in it for us? We've left everything and followed you. We've sacrificed ourselves. What's in it for us, Lord? And the Lord gives an answer. He lists five things here. Very practical, very genuine here, sincere here. Lays out five things that we get out of following him. He says, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel. All right, what's in it for us? If we leave the world, in other words, and come follow him, who will not receive a hundredfold, that gets our interest, a hundredfold blessing now. So we get stuff right now being a Christian. Now, in this time, houses, brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions in the age to come, eternal life. Five things in summary. Why follow Christ? Why be here today when everybody else is sleeping and doing whatever they want to do? Why deny myself? Why take up my cross? Why keep the faith? Why hear the word? Why commune? Why be baptized? Why confess and receive absolution? Why do I do this stuff? Why am I a Christian? Why follow this Jesus? Five things. You get a place. You get people. You get a purpose. You will be persecuted. And you get paradise. This is what moves us, compels us to believe by the power of God's Spirit. Wonderful gospel promises here of what we get right now and in the age to come. First of all, you get a place to come to. The first thing he mentions, you're going to get a hundredfold now of what? He says houses. What's he talking about? I get houses? He's not really talking about your home you live in out there. He's talking about this house. He's talking about the church. The number one thing you get out of being a Christian right now is the church. You get this house. And he uses plural, I think, here because we know in Jesus' day in the early church, they didn't worship in a building like this. They couldn't build buildings like this, persecution. They didn't worship much in the temple, not for very long, or the synagogues. They worshiped in people's houses. And so he uses plural to say, you get all these churches, these houses you can go to. And what do you get in the house? They're all the house of God, by the way. And what do you get here? You get the word of God. You get the sacrament of Christ's body and blood. You get to hear the absolution. Your sins are forgiven. You get Christ himself is what you get here. Forgiveness of your sins. Peace beyond understanding. The promise of eternal life. All the treasure of heaven. You get the house of worship. Jesus, in his ministry, went to a lot of houses. And whatever house he went to, he turned into a church because he was there giving his gifts. Wherever Christ is, there's the church. Where all did Jesus go? He went to Peter's house and healed Peter's mother-in-law. He heals us of our sins and all of our woes here. He went to Matthew's house and had a feast. He went to the house of Mary and Martha, Simon the leper's house. He's ever going to houses, giving blessings, bringing healing, bringing his word. And all those houses of the New Testament all ultimately find their place in this house called the Christian church 2,000 years later. What's in it for me? I get Christ, his word, his sacrament, his house. I heard a couple weeks ago where a little dog was on the road and it got ran over by a car. True story. And actually the dog got caught in the front grill of the car. Got caught there. And the driver didn't realize he had ran over a dog, so he kept on driving. And he drove for about another 12 miles, reaching speeds of 50 miles an hour with this dog caught in the grill of the front of his car. When he finally stopped, someone told him, "You got a dog there in the front of your car." And guess what? The little doggie was living, walked off, alive. But I bet that little dog doesn't want to go in front of a car again, huh? You can get caught in a bad place. There's a lot of bad places on this earth. The front of a car is a bad place. Your job might be a bad place. Your home may be a bad place. Your school may be a bad place. We all thank God for hospitals, but if we're in the hospital, we might consider that kind of a bad place. We don't want to be there, is what I mean. Or a nursing home might be a bad place. You might be in a bad relationship. There's a lot of bad places. Praise be to God, we have his house, the best place we can come to for his holy word and sacrament. What's in it for me? Number two, you get people. Above all, you get Christ. That should draw us all the time, whether we're the only person here or not. But you get people, he mentions, along with houses, you get brothers, sisters, a mother, father, children. Who are these people that are my brothers, my sisters, my mom, my children? It's called my church family. We are brothers and sisters. The older women, your mothers. We have children here. We're a church family brought together by Christ. This is what's in it for us. We get people who love us. People who should genuinely care about us. Support us. We're not perfect. We're going to hurt each other. But this ought to be a whole lot more loving place than out there. Because we love, we bear burdens, we pray for each other, encourage each other, comfort each other, help each other. We're there for each other. That's the church. And Christ is saying to Peter, yes, you might have left your earthly home, your mother-in-law, and whoever you had back then, to get something better, a hundredfold. You get 11 other disciples. Of course, we know Judas betrayed. And then in the book of Acts, right before Pentecost, we know there's 120 in the church family. So it's a hundredfold, you see. He has a big church family. Then at Pentecost, how many are baptized? Another 3,000. The family is growing. Then later in Acts, you have 5,000 brothers and sisters and mothers and children who love me and support me, encourage me. Wow, a hundredfold, a thousandfold. What's in it for me? We are here for each other. That's what's in it for me. The headline of Wednesday's paper, New Sentinel, you know what it was? The headline caught my attention, "Coming Out Swinging," in bold print. Why was the headline "Coming Out Swinging"? It was the day after the presidential debate. And President Obama came out swinging. And Romney held his ground. And they talked about the boxing match, back and forth, debating, arguing. And dear friends, that's what you get in the world. And that's what you get in politics. You come out swinging, fight, debate, argue, dominate, intimidate, and try to get my way, doggone it. In the church, we don't come here to come out swinging. Unless, of course, we have a voters' meeting, then we come out swinging. Just kidding. We have good meetings, too. We come here singing with brothers and sisters. And we come here serving. And we come here sacrificing. And we come here supporting each other, loving each other. Thirdly, what's in it for me? I get a purpose in life. Jesus mentions lands. He says to Peter, "What's in it for you? You're going to get lands." What's he talking about? Lands. I believe he's talking about all the foreign mission fields that Peter and the apostles will go to. I'm going to give you Samaria to go preach the gospel, and Christ doesn't. I'm going to give you Galatia and Phrygia and Asia Minor. I'm going to give you Greece and Rome and to the ends of the earth. He says to the church, I'm going to give you China. I'm going to give you the Middle East. Don't give up on them. Pray for them. Go there. I'm going to give you Australia. I'm going to give you Canada. I'm going to give you South America. I'm going to give you Asia. I'm going to give you the whole world. Because I give you a purpose. And your purpose now, as a baptized believer, your purpose is to be my ambassador, my witness, to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. Don't we need a purpose every day we wake up? And it needs to be a whole lot more than just making money and paying my bills and watching the ball game and going to bed. That's boring. That's depressing. That doesn't move me at all. But to know my purpose every day is part of an eternal purpose. To be an instrument of my God. To show forth His love in all that I say and do. To do my job well, whatever it is. To show His love. To speak of Him. That others might be saved. That ought to thrill me in here. We all need a purpose, a fulfillment in our lives. A joy that we love doing. And I've been a pastor 20-some years. Still get very, very excited to preach. But even more so exciting to preach, I get excited when I can sit one-on-one with someone and tell them about Jesus. To have a confirmation class or just to speak of Christ. I mean, I start slobbering and spitting and talking fast-paced because I'm excited. I'm thrilled. It just moves me here to have this individual. May God use me to reach out and save this person. That they know Christ. I get a purpose in life. I read in the paper, we have a delay here in Knoxville. What's delayed? We all know what's delayed. The Henley Street Bridge. When is that cotton picking bridge ever going to be done? And you folks that come from the South, you don't like it. You like it worse than I do. It could have been done this December, and the construction crew would have got an extra $1 million. But now we hope it's done by June. If it's not done by June, they're going to start losing money. You and I, we are a bridge to God. You got the unbelieving world and you got God. And we, the church, are the bridge. Why? Because we have Jesus. And He is the bridge. Let's not delay in speaking the gospel. Let's not delay in reaching out and put it off and let somebody else do it. What's in it for me? I get a purpose. And then number four, he adds persecution. We get all this good stuff. You get houses, you get a family, you get a purpose, lands I'm going to send you to. But then he says, and also persecutions. The Lord is always honest with us. The Lord does not sugarcoat things for His people. The Lord is honest and truthful. You're going to be persecuted. When you go to those other lands and you speak the gospel, right along with it is going to come persecution. They hated me, they're going to hate you. I suffered, you're going to suffer. I went to a cross, you're going to have to bear your cross. There's going to be persecution. Even that He turns for good, though. For He humbles us, builds character in us, strengthens us when we are weak. When I am weak, He is what? He is strong. Even that He uses for good. I heard we're going to have a rough winter here in Knoxville. How do I know that? Acorns. There are a lot of acorns falling. An old wives' tale is that the more acorns that fall, guess what? Going to have a harsh winter. Who believes that nonsense? I don't know. Maybe it's true. I can't predict weather. I can't predict politics. I can't predict everything that's going to happen in the world. But I can assure you of this. We, the church, will be persecuted. But God is with us. Our fortress, our strength, our refuge. And God will win. He already has won at Calvary's cross. So don't give up. Bear your cross with joy. God is ever working good and spreading the gospel, even through you and I. And number five, we don't end with persecution and then the Lord says, that's it. Oh, finally I get persecuted? That's the end? I'm going to die? He adds, and in the age to come, eternal life. This is the climax. This is the great ending. What's in it for you, Peter, you disciples? What's in it for you, First Lutheran Church? Wow, in the age to come, you get eternal life, paradise, the resurrection of your body, glory with the saints forever and ever, where there's no more tears, no more suffering, no more death, no more pain. Eternal glory, the resurrection of my flesh in heaven. That's what's in it for me. And it's all won for me by Jesus. It's already mine through faith, through my baptism. I'm already rich. I already have it through faith. That's what's in it for me. I get to live forever. I heard where you need to have 8 times your final salary in retirement. Meaning, if your final annual salary is $50,000 and then you retire, you need to have saved $400,000, 8 times more, to have a good retirement. Ann and I are thinking about that. We're getting up there, Pat. I'm sorry. 15, 20 years, I don't know. I'll never retire. Like this job too much. You guys are too good to me. I don't want to just have a good retirement. I don't just want to have a good retirement. I want to have a glorious retirement. A glorious rest from all the burdens and woes of life. And that glorious retirement, that glorious rest is called what, church? It is called heaven. Eternal life. And my God in Christ has already earned it for me. I'm not earning it. He's already won it for me by his death, his resurrection. It's a free gift of God to me. You ask yourself sometimes like I do, what's in it for me, Lord? Like Peter. We've done so much. What's in it for us? He lays it out here. You get a place, the church, word, sacrament. That's number one right now. You get people who love you, a church family that loves you. That's what you get out of it. You get a purpose to go and spread the word throughout the ends of the earth that will give you joy and fulfillment in your life. You will be persecuted. He's honest with us. But above all, climax. What's in it for me? I get paradise. The resurrection of my flesh and glory with God forever. We get everything now, even more later. Who wants to follow Jesus? Who wants to follow Jesus? Is it worth it? Let us go forth to follow our Jesus. It's worth it. Amen. We rise. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Savior. Amen.